790 Larson and Julie Mason. And joining us remotely is Ellie Gilbreth. She is the Democrat nominee for Congressional District 2. She's facing off against one of Idaho's longest time incumbents in Mike Simpson in November. And Ellie, we want to welcome you warmly to our station this morning. How are you?
I'm well, and I feel warmly welcomed. So thank you very much, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
I was telling Julie earlier, it's hard because we're very conservative, but we like people and we like to talk to people. And it's really hard when someone as nice as you is interviewed with us because we have to ask you hard questions. So.
Oh, well, I don't think asking hard questions is a unnice thing or a mean thing in any way. And I think that we all need to ask each other hard questions and then be open listeners for the answers, right, and have dialogue. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we need to solve right now, not just in government, but in our communities. You know, in government, we used to be colleagues, and I think that word has really evaporated. And I think in our communities, we were used to just primarily be neighbors, and that's why I'm running, because I think that I've seen that division start to divide our communities, and that's just not Idaho.
All right, Ellie, introduce yourself to our audience and to East Idaho for those who don't know your background and who you are.
Okay. Hello, East Idaho. I am running for Congress, as Neil said, in District 2 to represent Idaho. I have a background in mediation, in conflict resolution, in collaborative problem solving, and strategic consulting, working with businesses and nonprofits, schools, school boards, fire departments, communities, and families. And so my husband always jokes, I've been training my whole life for this job. I just didn't know it.
All right, let's chat about some of your priorities. I went to your website. I learned about you. One of them is, I think, something that's specifically important to East Idahoans, so I wanted to touch on it. You write that you're going to work hard to protect Idaho's public lands, their water, and their energy. We have the INL here close to us in East Idaho. In what ways would you like to protect what's being done at the INL and also our agricultural water supply that you feel hasn't been met yet? What would you do that hasn't been done to protect those?
I think it's looking to the future. We've got threats that we haven't had before. You know, if you look across the country and throughout Idaho, they did a poll recently that 96% of Idahoans were concerned about protecting public lands. And I think if you'd done that poll 2 years ago, you'd have had a very different result. People weren't talking about it. And I think the reason that people are talking about it now, one of the biggest reasons are data centers. And if we look what are happening in Utah, some of the states around the country, Louisiana, where they are wanting to build data centers that are larger than Manhattan, that take up an incredible amount of water. My dad was in real estate growing up, and we always made a joke. You know, he'd say location, location, location. And I think you ask anyone in Idaho, especially this year, and especially farmers, and they're going to say water, water, water. And you have this idea of these data centers coming in that can take anywhere from, you know, up to from 500,000 to 5 million gallons of water today with the open loop systems. And that's one thing that our state legislature did that was great. They put a moratorium on those open loop data centers. And we need to do the same thing and have a federal law modeled after that, that protects Idaho from these data centers coming in and taking not only our water, but our land and our energy.
So, Ellie, I want to ask you, and this may be the toughest question of the interview, and I always ask this of...
I like that we're starting there, Neil. Well, it's like, let's get the toughest one done, and then we're downhill.
Yeah, that
would be good. We can enjoy each other's company.
But I think it's a very good question, Ellie. If you are elected, you'll be a Democrat. And
yes.
I don't know who the Democrats will put forward to be either the majority leader, Speaker of the House, or the minority leader. But if it's Hakeem Jeffries, I would assume that you'd vote for Hakeem Jeffries. But I don't know that his politics align well with Idahoans. And so I guess I would ask you, how will you vote when you vote for leadership if you're elected?
You know, I think And that makes me sad that that's the assumption. And I think it makes sense. And I think that's what people are assuming, because it's become this football game. It's our side against your side. And I got asked that question actually on the radio a couple weeks ago in a show in Idaho Falls. And a caller called in and said, you know, I really like what I'm hearing from you, Ellie. My concern would be that you're a Democrat. And would you just always vote, you know, against Trump or against the Republicans? And I said, absolutely not, because we live in a representative democracy. And the only job of a congressman is to represent your district. That's the Constitution. That's the job. That's the law. And I know in Idaho, we believe in the rule of law. And my job as a representative is to represent Idaho, District 2, every day, every vote, whatever's best for Idaho. And so that's how I will vote. In every question, you know, who I elect, who I think will be the best person for the Democratic Party that will be aligned with what the Constitution said and what the law is and what is best for our states. And so, you know, I don't know who would be running against him at that point or whether or not I would vote for him. But what I do know is that vote would be inspired by, and the foundation would be and always be, what is best for Idaho District 2.
Okay, so if that's true, and I love what you're saying, mm-hmm. Idaho is one of the least Democrat states in the country, so why have you aligned with the Democrat Party?
It's a great question, Neil, and I get asked it a lot. I was speaking with the mayor of Cary a few weeks ago, and he was like, Ellie, I don't mean to be rude, but after we spoke, he's like, you don't sound like a Democrat. And I've had so many Republicans I've spoken to across the state in the last couple months say to me, they start off, well, I'm not one of those Republicans. And I think they'll then say, well, I'm a Reagan Republican or I'm a classic Republican. And I always say, well, I'm not one of those Democrats, because when I'm older, I don't know how, I'm guessing probably a little older than you two, not sure, because I can't see you. But when I grew up, the Democratic Party was the party of the working class. We used to have polling booths in our home throughout our childhood. And so those values, I think, stuck with me. And I think I absolutely could have run. I'm a moderate. I'm a centrist. I could have run under the Republican banner or an independent. And I think if I had, I would have been thrown under the bus and called a carpetbagger, and rightly so, because I've been a Democrat throughout my life because of my childhood and those values that were instilled in me and who the party was then. And I am not a career politician. I have not run for office before, and I needed to have some foundation under me. And so those are the reasons. And, you know, I understand that the parties have changed, both the Republican and the Democratic Party, greatly in the last decade. And both, I think, not for the better. And I think we need to get back to that time where we were more centrist and it wasn't a career, that we ran because it's service, and being in the government is service. And we need term limits because that's the job. And if you don't want that job, that's great. Find something else. But it's not a self-serving profession. It's one of service, to serve your country and your government and the people in your districts.
All right. You also address health care and family stability on your website. I've got a couple of questions about that. Would you let our listeners know how you feel about the abortion initiative that will most likely be on the ballot in November? Which way would you be voting on that? Because lots of times, especially in the Democrat Party, they refer to that as health care. I approach it from a different place, but the Democrat Party does say that abortion is health care. So I would love to hear how you feel about that. And then also, as a second to that question, how do you feel about Obamacare and Medicaid expansion in Idaho?
So I think two big questions, and I think both of them are not either or, they're ands. I think we do have a big healthcare problem in Idaho right now. We have lost half of our OBGYN practitioners. 50% of our hospitals don't have labor and delivery services. We have people, I ran into a woman, I guess a couple of weeks ago at an event, and she was talking about how upset she was that her daughter had moved away for college and that had just gotten married, and she and her husband wanted to move back to Idaho, and they were both teachers. They were worried about getting jobs in education with the cuts, and they were worried about having a family here. They're members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We have a large population in all of our counties of that Christian religion, and you know, we need to have young people feel that it's safe to have their families here. And so I think it is an and issue. It's healthcare. And I think it's healthcare in the sense of for everyone, we need to have healthy pregnancies, healthy babies, healthy mamas, and healthy families. And that's a big issue for Idaho right now. And it's connected with your second question. And I want to answer the first part of your first question so you don't feel that I'm somehow avoiding it, is that I think, you know, it's in the Constitution. I'm running to stand up and fight for the Constitution. And part of that Constitution is the belief from our framers that we are capable, and we're capable to manage our own lives and make our own decisions. And I think that also goes into the area of healthcare decisions and decisions about what you're going to do in different and difficult situations of if your right life is at risk. And so that needs to be made between the family, the woman and their doctor. And as far as the Obamacare, I think, again, it's an and, it's not an either or. I'm seeing and hearing from families over and over again, and this is not just in rural Idaho. It's primarily the pain that's being suffered is in the rural Idaho areas, but it's also in our big cities. It's in Ada County. People can't get a primary care physician. You can't get an appointment for 3 months. You're 5 minutes late to an appointment, and the doctor's not going to see you, and you can't schedule for another 6 months. In rural areas, we've had people having to drive 90 miles to get an appointment, or the solution is broadband. And I was talking to a gal in Arco a few weeks ago, and it was 2 months, I guess, because it was that light snow we had. And all of a sudden, her internet was down. And so we can't rely on broadband for our healthcare appointments. And I know that in the future, it looks like we're going to lose maybe 250,000 Idahoans are going to lose their insurance because of the ACA cuts. I don't know enough about the details of Obamacare to know if that's the answer, but what I know is that we do need an answer. We need a plan. We've had our Medicaid cut drastically. That's impacting a lot of families. We've got 9 hospitals on the verge of closure, and that's the problem that we need solved. I'm not sure how we solve it, but I know that we can solve it and that we need to solve it for Idahoans.
So I want to go back for a moment, Ellie, to the abortion issue, because and I don't want to misstate your position, but I think it's accurate to say that you, in order to keep a healthy supply of doctors in Idaho, we need to have abortion legal. Is that essentially what you're saying?
You know, I'm saying that we need to have healthcare options available so that when women who want their pregnancy and who go into sepsis shock are not sitting in the parking lot waiting to be close enough to death's door, bleeding out or something else where they need to be airlifted, and we maybe don't have in the rural areas that capacity, or that we need to be able to have doctors make those choices, that women, family, doctors need to make all of those choices, that's a choice for them to make with their doctors and their family and their faith. Yeah. And it's not my business. It's not my business. It's not government's business to dictate that.
Okay, but I'll be honest with you, Ellie. I feel like those words are skirting the issue of abortion.
They're very intentional. And let me clarify that, Neil. I know it sounds like that way because people want everyone to take a stand. They want me to take a stand and a position on one side or the other so they can put me in a camp. And I'm not going to do that because I know what's most important for Idahoans, and it is not these culture wars. It is not this idea that we're going to talk about these things that aren't really going to matter to most of the people in our state and ignore the things that do matter most. It's divisive rhetoric, and I've spoken to people across Idaho, and that's people who are libertarians, who are people who are Republicans, people who are MAGA, and what they want is to go back so we can go forward. They want us to remember that we are neighbors first, and we support our neighbors and our communities.
Is there any point during pregnancy, Ellie, that you believe it should become illegal to take the life of the unborn child?
I think that the law states where those parameters are already. And again, you know, that's something I think to be determined. The government has decided that's to be determined within the states. And so that's a state issue.
Right.
I'm not running for state office.
That's our question,
though,
Ellie.
Really not something that is mine to answer. And I'm happy to hear what you two think about it. I'd love to hear more what your positions are.
We think that abortion is the murder of an unborn child. And so we are against that.
Yeah.
We think that The way you've characterized it is very common among people who are pro-choice, that this is a decision between a woman and her doctor, but the baby growing inside her is forgotten, and the rights of that human being are being ignored. And so that's how we view the issue.
Yeah, and I hear that, and I understand it, and I respect that, and I think that it's a complicated issue and people feel very differently, and that's important for us to be able to talk to one another about that.
But that's what we're doing. I just want to get clarification. Yeah. So you believe that abortion in Idaho should be legal up to the point of birth?
No, it's not what I said. And I think, this is going down is unhelpful, I think, for our society, for Idaho, and for our nation. And so this is an area that there is so much dissension upon. And so you and I discussing it doesn't have any value for the listeners. Value because we're not going to come to any resolution.
I'm trying to just get specificity from you.
Yeah.
At what point during the pregnancy should it no longer be legal to take the life of that unborn child?
What the law dictates. The law dictates the law, and so what I'm telling you is that my position is that what we need in Idaho is my job, what we need in the District 2 is my job, and that's what we need is healthy babies, healthy mamas, healthy families, and for that we need health care. And that's my position on this topic. And I know you'd like me to answer something differently, but satisfying or not, Neil, that's my position. So
no, you can
I'd love
answer
to talk
how you
about,
want.
I'd love to talk about the rest of our freedoms that are at risk. I'd love to talk about the freedom of religion. I'd love to talk about the Second Amendment, these amendments that I think are under attack, and that is really the basis of my platform these constitutional amendments.
I do think our discussion about abortion could be incredibly brief if you just simply asked at what point should abortion no longer be legal. But
I did answer that, Neil, and I understand you don't like my answer, but you need to look to the law because the law dictates what's legal.
And you support the current law?
Yes. I can support the current laws to what's legal.
Okay.
To answer that question.
There was a follow-up.
And so I'd love to talk about our farms and our water and our other aspects of health care, Medicaid cuts, Medicare.
Well, that was the second part of the question that we didn't get to was, do you feel that Medicaid expansion has been good for Idaho? And in what way are you hoping to solve what you framed as a rural health care crisis?
Yeah. And so there, I think it's also an and question, a lot of aspects where the rural healthcare system is breaking down. They've already closed 3 hospitals. There are 5 more I know that are operating on razor thin budgets, and so they are at risk. I know people are already having to have a lot of their appointments on broadband, and I said, it's not a really perfect solution. And so with Reclaim Idaho, I know when they did their movement a number of years ago, it was, I think, sort of 62% of Idahoans voted for Medicaid expansion. In the latest poll that I've seen, it was about 70% that supported the Medicaid expansion. And so it looks like, from what I've seen thus far, is that District 2 is in support of the Medicaid expansion. A lot of the Medicaid cuts have been made in the Big Beautiful Bill, and the Big Beautiful Bill had great parts and not so great parts. I know for a lot of the farmers, for the sugar beet farmers, there were some great things there in the Big Beautiful Bill that helped sugar beet farmers. We need to help them some more. The tariffs have been a mixed bag. But with the Medicaid cuts, a lot of families have lost their coverage, and so again, it's an area where we know there's a problem. There's not a definitive solution, and Medicaid seems to be the most popular right now, but if there's something else that satisfies those needs and those interests for our population, then certainly open to those as well. But we do have an issue, and it's going to be getting worse. Just from the cuts that have happened and people that have lost care. And we're going to see the same thing with Medicare cuts if we don't do something. But, you know, there are positive things happening too. And it's Monday morning, and I think we should talk about some of the positive things as well. There was a great win for our dairy farmers Friday with a Trump coming out and talking about expanding the H-2A visas for our dairy farmers and allowing them to be part of that system. And that's a great start, because that has made life very hard for the dairy farmers, and it's a big part of our economy. And so I think there are, you know, we had the housing bill as well, a bipartisan effort, and housing is one of our biggest problems here in Idaho, whether you're in Ada County, where house prices have gone up 80%, or you're in ARCO, where we don't have the infrastructure, the roads and the infrastructure to build more housing. So I think that's a real boon for all of us here in Idaho.
Yeah. Ellie, can I jump in really quick here? I'd like
sure,
to ask
Neil.
You, we've had a couple of people ask about where you stand on Second Amendment issues and our gun laws. Do you like?
I will say, and I love to say, because it's 4th of July coming up and we're celebrating 250 years of our founding of our nation, and that the Constitution is not a pick and choose. The Second Amendment is our Second Amendment, right after the first, freedom of speech. And so all of our amendments need to be protected. No state more so than here in Idaho, maybe Wyoming and Montana. But having guns is a part of our lives. It's a part of our fabric and our foundation. We're responsible gun owners. We have used guns in our recreation. We use guns to protect against the militia. We use guns in, you know, our farms and our ranchers. So the Second Amendment needs to be completely protected, as do our other freedoms, freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
Okay, so you would commit, if you're elected, you would commit to not vote for any additional gun control on the federal level.
Would I commit? So that's a different question, Neil. So would I not vote for any? And again, it would depend. I wouldn't make a blanket statement on anything, because if it's good for Idaho and Idahoans support it and my district support it, then I would support it. Because as I said, we're a representative democracy. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my party thinks. It even Frank Church says it's patriotic to question your president. And not only is it patriotic, but it's the job. If something benefits Idaho, I'm for it. If my people in my district support it and want it, I'm for it. If it hurts them or they're against it, I'm against it, because that's the job. That's Constitution lays it out really clearly, and it's the balance of powers. And so we need to do our job, and that's why I'm running, because I feel Congress has not been doing their job, which is pretty clear in the Constitution as to what that is, which is to represent your district and the priorities of your district. And that's the value of me not being a career politician. Is yeah. I'm not owned by anyone. And so I will vote for Idaho and for the Constitution, and that'll be in any vote. I wish I was a soothsayer and I could tell you what all those situations would be and how I would vote, but that I can't do, because I'm not going to make a promise that isn't aligned with the values and the priorities and the benefit of District 2.
Okay, we are absolutely out of time.
Ellie, well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Ellie for Idaho is her website, ELLIEFORIdaho.com. Ellie, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate you, and thanks for the invitation. Have a wonderful day, and happy 4th of July.
Same to you. 7:57 okay. Now on News Talk 107.9.